Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to our brand new podcast, Made by Mamas. I'm Zoe Hardman.
And I'm Georgia Dayton.
And we are back, still talking, still discussing, and still covering all of the subjects related to motherhood. We're really excited to be here again, and we cannot wait for you to hear all of the chats taking place in this series. For those of you that don't know us,
we met a few years ago when we were pregnant, and now 3 kids later, and with one, a bun in the oven.
It's cooking in there. We've got more interesting subjects, topics that we're discussing, and all of the stuff that maybe perhaps
you might be scared to talk about.
Yeah, you might be scared to talk about. Well, we're here. We're lifting off the lid. We've got some great guests this series. So yeah, sit back and let's get on with it. So this week we are talking about relationships between you and your partner. And how to keep that magic alive when you've got kids.
Yeah, it can be a shock to the system. You go from only having each other really to care about to then having this third person. And, you know, you can both feel a little bit left out. I mean, I think dads especially do feel a bit left out sometimes.
I also think you neglect your own relationship, which is because you have to. You're so consumed by this tiny new arrival that you've got to look after and give all of your energy that suddenly you start becoming a stranger with your husband or wife. And I think that's the thing. You suddenly realise the weeks go by and you haven't had any one-on-one time.
Yeah,
and it starts
exactly.
to chip away and it becomes really, really challenging.
It is so important to make time, even if it's like a day at home or just doing something together. Like, I mean, even going to the gym together. I know it sounds really boring, but putting your kid in the creche for an hour and going and working out together and doing something you just like doing together. It doesn't have to be fancy. It's just about reconnecting and remembering who the both of you are.
Yeah, date night is so important. Yeah. However that looks to you, whether it's a cinema night or a date at home, or, you know, you get to actually go, God forbid, you've got to spend a night away from your kids in a nice hotel. Whatever. Yes. It's just about taking that time for the other person. And I think also remembering that, yes, you've had a child and yes, it's the most important thing in your life, but there is also another person that's the most important thing in your life. Do not forget that.
Exactly. And I always have to remember, kids are going to grow up and they're going to leave home, and you don't want to be left with somebody that the only thing that you bonded over was your children. Mm. Like, because I think that does happen quite a lot. You know, once kids leave home, mum and dad are left like, oh, well, what do we do now? And what do we talk about? So if you keep it going, it's just good for everybody, isn't it? And good for your kids to teach them about relationships and how a good relationship works.
And seeing, you know, them seeing you kiss in front of them and doing all of that, because, you know, that's another thing. You go through pregnancy, your body changes so much. Then you have to give birth. Then you're left with the aftermath. And the last thing you feel like doing is having sex with your partner.
Yeah, exactly.
I think when you get your check from your doctors, I think it's really important to reconnect physically with that person. I think it is something that it's pretty hard. I've gone through it this time with Kit. I have been left with, you know, the boobs after breastfeeding him. They are empty and they're like, I pull them out and it's like skin coming out and I'm really uncomfortable with them. And I never thought that me, as the person that I am, would go through any body confidence issues. I really have.
Yeah.
You know, and it's taken me a lot to be like, look, this is the body that I've been left with. I've got to love it. I've got to embrace it. And he loves me, so I should just get over it. And now I'm having great sex again.
Thank
the Lord.
Of
course I am. So today we're talking to somebody that is, she's got a big social media following. She is an amazing mum. She's married to a pop star. I don't want to give away too much, but she's so candid and she talks really brilliantly about her relationship with her husband. So let's get into it.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
So today, Georgia and I have managed to grab one of the most beautiful women in the flesh that we have either of us have ever seen.
True.
She was crowned Miss England a few years ago. She is married. She's one half of one of the boys from McFly.
Yes.
And she's also one of the most incredible mums to little Cooper. We have got Georgia Jones with us today.
Yeah. She also has a very good name.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yes.
So do you.
Welcome.
Oh, thank you. That was such a nice introduction. I feel like I'm not going to be able to fit out of the studio door now.
I'm known for my intros. Miss England.
Oh, God, don't. It was a long time ago now.
What was that like?
Probably one of the most amazing experiences of my life. Like I loved it.
Have you done beauty pageants before?
I'd done, yeah, well, to be Miss England you had to do like littler beauty pageants, so I'd done a couple prior. Never done anything like that. Never done any modelling or anything. And my mum entered me. She went, "Oh, I think you'd be quite good at this." And I was like, "Oh, mum, no, absolutely not." Anyway, I ended up getting into the final 12 just through like pictures, and then it was like, "Yeah, so you're going to have to go and be on the stage and wear a dress and
talk to the crowd,
you know, talk to the crowd and answer questions." And I was like, oh, what on earth have I signed myself up for? Anyway, I then won it. So I won the title of Miss York and then went to the Miss England final and, yeah.
So what did you have to do to become Miss England?
Yes, thanks for asking that.
So many things. I think the Miss England, because then obviously went to Miss World. Miss England was a week, I think, of all of us girls being together. There was 92 of us. All from different areas in the, you know, in England, and we had to do so many different things. So there was a section on what we wanted to do charity wise, so anything that we were passionate about and who we wanted to raise money for, why we wanted to do it, how we would do it. There was a bikini round, but to be honest, I didn't really mind that.
But if you've got it, get it out.
Do you know, exactly. Well, do you know, I think whatever you've got, get it out. I'm quite liberal like that. I'm not a nudist or anything, but I don't.
She is actually naked today.
Yeah, she is.
She is naked today.
We did have to tell her to put a dress on before she came in.
Got a bit awkward. I'm happy doing things like that.
Were you kind of going through the whole process just going, I can't believe this is...
Because
obviously if it wasn't your life beforehand and then you were just thrown into this kind of real... Because beauty pageants can be quite hardcore. I've seen the programmes.
Yeah, do you know, it's funny. It's nothing like that because I hadn't watched anything like Miss Congeniality or anything like that before I did it. And everyone kept going to me, oh, is it like that? And I was like, I don't actually know because I don't know what happens on those programmes. But it was, do you know, it was just full of really nice girls that wanted to do nice things. It wasn't full of like, I mean, there might have been the odd one or two that literally just was there to smile and that's about it.
Yeah,
but
world,
you know,
peace.
Yeah. But there was a lot of girls. Oh God, yeah. One girl went, so what would you like to achieve as Miss England? And she went, you know, world peace and that. And I was like, oh no, that's
oh,
not
God.
Okay.
Yeah.
There were some lovely girls.
Okay, so it was a good experience.
Yeah. And then Miss World was a completely different ball game. That was, I definitely didn't want to win that one.
Okay.
Yeah, it was extreme and very much you weren't kind of allowed to do what you would want to do as a person.
Right.
I loved it. Like, I loved the experience because it was a month in China.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
On your own. Like, you were on your own.
How old were you?
I was 20, I think, at that point. So 20, like, flew all the way to China, like, with Miss Wales, who I'd met at the airport, who I didn't realise until a few days later, and she said to me, oh, I'm really sorry if I was a bit weird, but I'd taken too many sleeping tablets, and, like, they'd had a funny effect, and not... Because I thought, God, she's a bit of a weirdo, this girl.
What, Miss Wales?
Miss Wales! But actually, she was such a lovely girl and ended up becoming a real, like, probably one of my best friends out there.
Yeah.
But I thought she was weird at the beginning, because she'd taken so many sleeping tablets.
A couple of Xanaxes.
Was she a bit dozy?
She was. And she just wasn't really giving me much conversation back. Yeah.
So you've won Miss England, you know, and you've got that whole thing under your belt, and then you go to a gig. No, you go to an event,
yes.
Right?
And
on
Miss
stage,
event.
Was it, is Danny from McFly.
He wasn't on stage. I was on stage.
Yes.
He was in the crowd hoping to bag himself a miss. That's what he wanted.
Oh, so he was using it as like a dating event.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really good idea.
Very clever.
Yeah, what a lad. What a lad. But he was heckling.
Okay. What did he say to you?
Oh, he was just making a load of noise. I don't even know it. Do you know, I was so annoyed by him. I wasn't actually listening to him. I was just so annoyed that there was somebody sat over there behind me making noise when I was trying to be professional.
Yeah.
So I didn't like him when I first met him because I was like, how dare you?
So did somebody introduce you at the party?
Yeah, someone introduced us. And I was just kind of like, hi. And he was like, hi. And then that was it. And then later on in the night, I was sat near him. And we just got chatting and heard each other's accents because he's obviously a Lancashire boy, so we're both Northern. And we were like, oh, you're Northern. Oh, you're Northern. Oh, I don't really like clubs. I like pubs. And then we just went from there and he was like, oh, do you want to come to a pub with me tomorrow? Turns out I had the most horrendous hangover and didn't go. And then put him off for a year.
For a year?
Yeah.
Wow.
He kept asking as well.
Did you do that on purpose?
No. When I very first met him, it was the end of a very, not a bad relationship, just a... relationship that should have ended probably 2 years prior because he was my best mate, not my
boyfriend. Not your lover.
No, absolutely not. No. And then that ended and I just wanted to go and enjoy myself. I went travelling. I just wanted to just have a bit of time on my own.
Yeah, you were like, I don't want a pop star boyfriend right now.
No, I was like,
see you in a year.
And I also thought to myself, the last thing I need is a pop star that's probably not going to treat me very well, probably got a string of girls. I'm not really interested in that, thank you. And then he persisted for this year. So then at the end of the year, I was a bit like, well, I mean, he's put the effort in. I might maybe give you a
chance.
And
it's quite handsome.
Yeah, I do. Like, I do fancy you. So go. And it was my mum, actually. She was like, come on, what have you got to lose? I was like, well, yeah, I suppose so.
Dignity, self-respect,
everything.
Yeah, my heart.
Yeah.
But it's worked out.
Yeah, I know. It couldn't have worked out anymore, really, could it?
We want to chat to you today about your relationship and how important it is to kind of keep that flame alive. Because, you know, Georgia and I watch you guys on Instagram and we always say to each other, don't they look like the best couple? You
know, yeah, proper team.
Real team.
Yeah. We are a team. Like, we, I mean, don't get me wrong. Our relationship is not perfect and we do bicker and there are times when he gets right on my nerves and I'm sure vice versa when he can't seem to put a tea bag in a bin or like a spoon in the dishwasher, it just goes in the sink, which is right next to the dishwasher. But I won't start that because I'll be here
did
for
he do that
hours.
This morning?
Oh, he does it every morning, no matter how many times I tell him. But one of the things that when we first got together, we were really, really kind of on the same page with was that if there was anything wrong, anything bothering either one of us, we had to talk and we had to say what it was because his mum and dad's marriage broke down for that reason. And I think he was very aware of that. He was quite anti-marriage when I first met him because of his experience of marriage, whereas I was really pro-marriage because my mum and dad are still together and happy and, you know.
So communication is a big thing between
so
the two of you.
So huge, yeah. Mm. So huge. Even if you know it's probably going to cause a little bit of a row. And it's funny because you kind of, you know how each other's going to deal with what you say. Because I know with Danny, if I say something to him that I'm not very happy about, he'll always fight at first. Like he has like a, no, I don't think you're right. And then if he goes away for like a day and I go away and, you know, I'm off doing my own thing, And I'll know that he's had a think about it. Me, it's funny, me and his sister talk about it because he's similar with everyone in his family. He just needs to let it absorb into his brain. And then he's like, oh, yeah, maybe.
I feel like it's quite a male trait.
Yeah,
that.
I think men are quite, you know, they find it hard to admit when they're wrong.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Straight off.
I mean, yeah, James is, your husband's very much like that.
He does not apologise.
No.
Like, never. He thinks he does, so he'll listen to this and be like, yes, I do. But that is exactly where we are.
Yeah. It's funny, isn't it? They just don't like that sorry word.
No.
I think women say it much more freely.
Yeah.
I completely agree with you. In fact, that you'll laugh about this. My husband will kill me for telling you this. But, we had just... This starts off being a boring story because we've just got our carpets cleaned, okay, right?
We're that's like, not boring. Spent,
oh, I loved it. I was like, it feels like we've got a new house.
Oh, yeah.
And then he goes out on Sunday for an all-day bender with his boys, comes back in, I hand the babies over to him and I'm like, I've got to go and do my heart show. You've already made me late. Goodbye. And then when I came back in at 2 o'clock in the morning, I opened our bedroom door and I was like, what's that smell? And I was like, I couldn't identify it, but I was like, it's really strong. It smells... bit like sick. Got into bed and in the morning when I turned the light on,
oh no, it wasn't him.
Oh yeah,
he's sick on the new, well not the new carpet,
yeah,
the new, freshly cleaned.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, he'd already left for a meeting, so when I texted him going sick ? He was like, oh so sorry, I thought I'd cleaned it all up, I tried to get to the living time. It's like, yeah, not okay on our new carpets. But that's the first time he said sorry for about 6 months.
Oh, cause that's
is bad.
Yeah, there's
one.
No getting away from that.
That is a big one.
Do you know what, my husband actually pooed on his
on his
mum and dad's floor. And I don't actually think he apologised for that. I think
why?
Still denies it. He was so drunk.
Oh my
god. We were there after a wedding.
Stop it.
And so like in all of the bedrooms were like family members.
Yeah.
And he was going, help me, help me. And he was squatting on the floor in the hallway. And at this, we wasn't married at this time. So I thought, do you know what?
You're still married.
This isn't my responsibility. Yeah. So I just knocked on his parents' door and I was like, I think this is your responsibility.
you've cleared this up before, I think.
Yes,
well.
Not for me. So, you know.
I know him so well, I'm never going to be able to sit with him ever again.
Yep.
That is brilliant.
Isn't it? Well, there you go. We've shared our stories of our husbands with you.
I love it.
Danny. So that's who we were before. Kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you married kids as well. Yeah, so did I.
So do you guys go out on date nights together?
Yeah, we try to. I mean, do you know, it's difficult to go out on like date nights as much as we want to because we haven't got family here. But I've talked to you about this before, haven't I, Zoe, that we use an app called Bubble, which is where you can get a babysitter, you know, that you've looked at, you've read about them, you can check whether they've got like DBS checks, first aid training, newborn experience, whatnot. And then you book them on, and you can book them. And what I do sometimes, because I'm so busy with work, it's really flipping hard to try and send an email while your child's sat, especially now he moves, like you can't just sit him there and he doesn't do anything. It's great just to have them there for like an hour or 2 hours so you can just sit and send emails. So we found one lady that, you know, we developed a real good relationship.
The lovely Lauren.
And so we use her a lot now, and she can come and look after Cooper while me and Danny go out and spend some time together. Even if it's just going like for breakfast together, so we can sit and talk, because we used to go for breakfast all the time. That was kind of like a nice, like a brunchy thing, like we used to love doing that,
read the papers, like, brunch, and then morning sex.
Oh, do you know, it's so funny. Actually,
trust Zoe,
I just miss it. Okay, I miss it.
No, Danny's turned into a morning sex person, because before he wouldn't,
since kids
before he wouldn't have ever woken up to have sex in the morning because he is so not a morning person. Now he hasn't got a choice, so he's like Mr. ready to go in the morning.
You're like
now.
That yes,
I know, because that's the best time for me. I'm like, brilliant, then I can get on with my day and I'm knackered at night and I can't be bothered to
exactly.
do it. So like just let's do it in the morning. Brilliant.
Right, make the most of this, because when you have baby number two, your baby will be a toddler and they will not be asleep. You will not be able to have morning
sex.
What we have to do now is put Luna on the bed watching Moana,
leave the bedroom, the bathroom door slightly ajar and have a quickie in the bathroom, maybe in the shower or just bent over the
sink. This is too much Georgia information, Zoe. Brilliant.
My Georgia hates these conversations.
I do not speak about sex.
You've got to keep your relationship alive.
Yeah, but I'm not saying I'm not doing it. I just don't talk about it.
I want to know if you're still having sex, okay?
See, I'm just like, I'm intriguing. I'm keeping it a secret.
Exactly. No, I love a good sex chat.
I'm
Well, I mean, me and my friends, so we all had babies at the same time, not planned, but like it just happened. And honestly, we've never talked so much about, so have you had sex yet? Have you done it yet? Since we had our babies. And it was so funny, like waiting to see who it took the longest to want to have sex. And like, actually, when we were pregnant, whose husband wanted to have sex?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it?
And whose husbands didn't want to have sex?
What about Danny?
Danny would not come near me. I wanted it. Unusual, because usually it's more Danny wanting it than me, because I'm just seem to be exhausted permanently. But yeah, and he just was scared of hurting the baby. Not that you could hurt it.
Do you think they think that they can touch the baby's head with their giant willy? I think that's what they think.
They've got this giant willy thing that they think they're going to damage the baby's skull with their penis, but that's not going to happen.
So Danny, you and Danny did not have sex throughout your pregnancy.
No, so we did. So I've worked it out. We mustn't have had sex for about a year.
Wow.
Because obviously after you've had your baby, it's a little while before you have sex because, you know, things are healing, aren't they?
Yeah.
And so like probably like, I'd say 2 months into having... getting pregnant, we didn't have sex. That's like 7 months. And then like that, you know, yeah,
what did
a few
that do
months
to your
afterwards.
Relationship,
do you know, not too much, because we're a very touchy feely couple. He was all right, he got what he needed. I was just like, hello.
Anything for me?
Yeah, what about me? But yeah, so you know, you still do things, don't you? And yeah. And we're very cuddly, kissy couple, not like in public, not like all over each other, but so we still had that intimacy. And for us, I don't think I do think sometimes you might be not getting on very well with your other half, and I know we just need to have sex.
I completely agree with you.
Even if I don't really want to have sex that day, I'm like, I just need to have sex with you. So I'm like, oh yeah, ooh, I fancy you.
Yeah,
oh,
then you remember why.
Yeah, then you're
I love that from you, Georgia.
See?
She can talk a little bit.
Yeah, but I'm not really talking about it. I'm talking about the emotion around it.
I think it's different. I think it's sometimes really important to actually just be physical. You know, it doesn't have to be, you know, a marathon session.
No.
It can be 3 or 4 minutes, the best 3 or 4 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
But it can be just that skin on skin, which actually goes, I mean, you know, you need that sometimes to feel that connection.
I think so, yeah. I prefer it when it's not a marathon.
Me too.
There's so much to do. I mean, if it was going on for an hour, I'd be like, nah, I'm not interested. I've lost attention.
Exactly. This was my precious nap time.
Yeah,
now quickly, come on.
That's why it's bad in the evening, because you look at the clock and you think, right, it's 10 o'clock. If we have sex for half an hour, I'm losing half an hour of sleep, and I'm still going to have to be up at 6 tomorrow. Yeah. Okay, yeah, I haven't got time.
No. Then you resent them. I haven't had sex for half an hour since, like...
Oh, no. But, like, the whole thing.
You know, 2005.
Minute wonder.
Exactly. Bam, bam. Thank you, ma'am. So date nights. So, yeah. So you still make sure that you do that.
Yes, we
and
do.
And that's kind of really important to you guys.
Yeah. Massively so. Just to have that time to talk. Because it's funny as well. Like, sometimes me and Danny sit down and we're like, so what have we got to talk about then? Because we seem to only be able to talk about children now. And before we had so much conversation.
Yeah.
And you've got to just have a few of those date nights to remember, like, what you actually talked about before and, like, things going on in your life and, you know, friends and work and, you know...
Views
on the world. Yeah. What's going on in the news. Not that Danny watches the news.
Pop news.
Yeah, pop news. It gets him down, the news.
Yeah. Like, too much bad news.
No, he's a bit blinkered.
Somebody just asked me... What we do, what my husband and I do for date nights, and I sort of started off by saying, do you know what, we don't get out that much, like we just don't, we don't have very much childcare because our parents are not around, locally, and you know, it's just not an option for us. So we try and do something at home, whether it's like a Friday night, we'll get a takeaway and we'll get a bottle of red wine. And even if we're sitting in our bedroom in our comfies, we'll turn the TV off. Sounds a bit chintzy, but maybe light some candles, put on a bit of Kenny G.
Oh, I love and a bit
just
of candle,
and just have a chat. Like, actually have a
I think that's the nicest thing to do sometimes. Because they're the little things that you don't get anymore. No. You know, like lazy Sundays where you just sit on the sofa and watch TV and eat and drink and whatever.
And nap.
You don't get that after you've had a baby, do you? So if you can grab those little moments, it does make a huge difference.
Well, Danny often cooks for me actually at home. That's just made me think, because I take that for granted because we do it every day. But when Cooper's gone to bed, I'll sit down and like maybe respond to a few emails, and Danny will always cook because he loves cooking.
That's so lovely.
Cook dinner, and then we'll just sit and eat a meal together and not have to inhale it because we know Cooper's in bed. I've never eaten so fast since having a child.
Or you just don't get the chance to eat.
It's just not non-stop. But we really enjoy doing that, and we like to watch like a series. We're on Making a Murderer at the moment, and it's just brilliant.
Does Cooper sleep in the same room as you?
No. And you know, when we have another baby, like if we have another baby, they won't sleep in our room for very long, I don't think.
Yeah, I'm the same as that. Yeah, because I had Axel in our room until about 5 months, 5 and a half months.
Did you?
Yeah, when I think back about it, because I was looking at photos the other day and it was definitely like January.
Yeah, I had Cooper for 6.
Yeah, because they say you're meant to do 6, don't they? Yeah. 6 months.
I thought and would have been...
No, I know. I thought so as well. Mm. But no, I didn't. But I think the main reason was we didn't actually have a cot for him. Right. And we hadn't like finished the nursery. So the day I think we got a cot, he was straight in there. Yeah. And I thought, why have we not done this before?
Oh my gosh, it makes such a difference.
It does. Because even just like creeping into bed when they're asleep.
Oh, I know. How nice it to walk into your room and not have to like... think about being silent.
Yeah, and like having the TV on or having loud laughing conversation. You just can't do any of that, can you?
No. And I found myself resenting Danny for even turning over in bed. I was like, don't move.
Wake him. Coughing. Oh, that was my pet hate. Like, seriously.
Yeah.
What are you, like, what are you doing?
I remember the day that Dozza moved Luna into her own room, and she was 11 weeks old and she was snuffling around, you know, just making lovely baby noises. And he was just like, I could hear him like next moving the, and he just went, right, that's it. And I was like, what are you doing? And he was like, I'm moving her into her own room, it's time. And I was like, no. And he was like, yes, it's for your own good, you're not asleep, I'm not asleep, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, let's do this. And then we slept, all of us slept through till like 7. That was the first time we'd had 5 hours unbroken. And he was like, thank you.
That's I bet he loved that, didn't he?
Yeah. Brownie points to me. No, but I think it is quite, you know, obviously at the beginning, you know, especially if you're breastfeeding, you kind of need them very close to you. But there is something to be, you know, they have to be independent as well.
Yeah.
It's good for them because they're not disturbed.
No.
But also, I don't know if you felt like this, but when 7 o'clock comes, you then feel like you've got a whole 12 hours off.
Yeah. Mm.
That's how I used to feel, like putting him into his room. Obviously, I had the monitor back then. I knew he was all right, but it meant we had a proper evening. It wasn't like, oh gosh, and then we're gonna have to creep into the room at like 10:30 and I'm gonna have to sneak into bed. It was like, oh, we can just walk into the bedroom, we can just get ready, you know, whatever we need to do.
Yeah, you don't need to plan where your pajamas are or whatever it is. Like, where is everything? And I used to like go in before and make sure like I turned the bed down so that when we got in we didn't make much
noise.
Ruffling the bed sheets, and I mean, it's ridiculous the things you did when they were in your room. And I think Cooper slept so much better when he went into his own bedroom.
What sort of a mum are you?
I like to think I'm fairly chilled. I'm not very organised. Well, I mean, I'm organised in certain senses. Like, I'm good at getting his bag together and stuff. But in terms of, like, organising food for him for me to cook for him and stuff, I'm a little bit crap at that, actually. And I think I'm fairly chilled. Like, I try and, like, let him do his own thing and... within means, like I will say no to him, but I'll pass him around to people, because when he was first born, I really didn't want him to be a clingy baby. Because I knew I was going to be starting work, you know, quite soon, I didn't want him to need me too much. I still wanted him to need me, obviously.
Of course.
But I didn't want him to like cry every time I left the room, and I don't know whether maybe there's phases they go through where he might do that. But I made sure I just passed him around to people, and he got really familiar with just being with other people that wasn't me or Danny. So I feel like I'm kind of like quite laid back with him.
Because Coops is your first baby. Yeah. So did you go through any of the blues?
Oh yeah. I mean, when
talk us through that.
So when I first had Cooper, so we had him and it was all very quick and it was a bit like, oh God, I've got a baby. He's arrived. He was planned, but he just arrived in a bit of a flurry. And I think as prepared as I was.
Well, because the birth was quick.
Yeah.
But I say that sometimes quick births are as traumatic as long births. I had a really quick birth as well.
Did you? Yeah. And I was just a bit, I think I was a bit in shock afterwards because I was just expecting like 24, 48 hour labour. Yeah. And it was four.
4 hours?
Oh my gosh, mine was six and I thought that was short.
Like, and I just don't think I was quite, I don't know, it just came and I was like, oh my God.
And then it's done.
Yeah. And then I was I was fine, but I didn't have that initial like, oh my God, I am so in love with you. You are the most amazing thing and I can't imagine my world ever without you. I didn't have that initial feeling. I felt love for him and I love this tiny little person, but I didn't know him and I was just like, I mean you were in my womb, but I've never met you before, and I had to get to know him. And it was only until kind of like maybe a month down the line that I felt that unbelievable, like almost like painful love, like, oh my God, I couldn't imagine anything ever happening to you, like my life would end. But that grew for me. That was the thing that came over time. And I did beat myself up a little bit about it because nobody ever kind of really mentions that. And you're just a bit like, oh, so it's just me. Why do I feel like this? Am I okay? Mm. Like, have I got postnatal depression? Like, what's going on? And then, obviously, when you feel like that, and then your hormones kick in, and so, oh God, you know,
scary time, isn't it?
Yeah, when your milk comes in, and it's just like, what on earth has happened to my body? I think me and Danny literally had a bicker over a nappy. That was all it was. Like, I put my hand over him, and he was like, move out of the way, I'm trying to get that nappy or something. And I thought we were getting a divorce.
Mm.
I mean the rows in the beginning are bad.
I was like, what? And I remember sitting there feeding Cooper and crying.
Sobbing,
thinking, this is it, my life's over. Like, what have I done? I've made a mistake. I honestly thought I'd made a really big mistake. But then the next day, I didn't feel like that. Mm. It's like when you're on your period.
The waves.
You can't rationalise it.
No one tells you about it because, firstly, I think you forget.
Yeah.
Like, after, you know, three, four, five, 6 months down the line, you've kind of forgotten about that newborn blur anyway.
Yeah.
But also, like, if I've got a friend who's pregnant, I don't want to be like, just to let you know, it's going to be really bad at the beginning.
But I don't agree with that.
I'm there for them when it happens.
Yeah, but they need to be prepared. I feel you need to be prepared because nobody told me about that rush of hormones.
No.
I mean, my mum, somebody should have said to me, you are going to feel real lows and massive highs. Yeah. And I wasn't prepared for those lows and they came like a truck.
Did they?
Oh, God, yeah. I was like locking myself in the bathroom and howling. Hours and hours. And that was really bad.
Mm.
But I didn't know what was happening to me. I remember thinking, I've got postnatal depression.
Because so many people tell you about postnatal depression, like in the health
service. Yeah, lots of people speak about that.
Yeah, and you kind of almost worry about that, don't you? Because no one says... They all talk about how you might get postnatal depression, but they don't really talk about how you might feel really down.
Yes.
And that's not postnatal depression. I spoke to Anna Williamson, actually, and she explained, because obviously she had postnatal depression, she explained the difference between postnatal depression and just feeling down, of that if you've got postnatal depression, every day gets worse and you can't get out of it. Like, you can't see any light anywhere. Whereas when you're just down, some days are better than other days. And you go up and you go down and, you know, but you have days where it's good. And that's just feeling a bit, that's feeling fed up and feeling hormonal and feeling a bit, you know, down and...
Bit shit.
Shell-shocked.
Yeah. And how was Danny when you were going through that?
He was really good, I think, because he kind of knew it was norm. He knew, like, that my hormones were going mad. But the thing was, he wasn't really around to see it all because he started work, three or five days after we had him. So my mum was there. Which was great because everybody needs a mummy cuddle, don't they, when you're feeling like that. So mum was kind of there through all that. But I had quite, like, I was quite panicky as well, which is really not like me. I've never suffered with kind of anxiety or anything like that. I've always been pretty confident. I mean, heck, I flew to China by myself, but, you know.
England.
And then I went from that to being quite scared to leave the house because I didn't know what I was doing.
We hear this a lot, actually. Yeah. Lots of people say that to us.
Yeah, do they? Mm. But nobody tells you that either. No one says, it might be quite daunting to leave the house for the first time, but you're going to be okay.
Like, everyone knows it might take ages.
Yeah.
And, like, you might not want to go out because you're, like, so tired. But, yeah, no one lets you know that it's that anxiety of, like, oh, my gosh, and I've got to remember this, and I'm responsible, and what if this happens?
Oh, Even just going to the shops turns into, like, climbing a mountain.
Oh yeah, it does. Going to our coffee shop, which was literally 5 minutes from our front door, panicked me, scared me. So I used to go there and get my coffee and like a takeaway cup just in case Cooper cried and I needed to leave. And like even that 5 minute walk, if Cooper was crying, I remember doing it for the first time and saying to my sister, who is a doctor in obs and gynae, so she's literally like,
she knows what's going on.
Yeah, and she's got two boys, so she is clued up. I remember saying to her, but is it okay that he's crying for this long, 5 minutes? And she's like, Georgia, like, it's fine, like, don't worry.
But we all go through that in our heads.
You don't know.
Course.
You don't know.
And so you mentioned that Danny was away. He had to go to work when Cooper was 5 days out. Do you think he found that quite hard?
Yeah, I think maybe that's kind of made his bonding process happen a little bit slower because he kind of wasn't there. Like, and as well, what was happening was he was coming home and going to bed because he was filming. He was on camera and he was up at like he was working till late and up at like really early hours. I was kind of doing it all myself because I wanted him to kind of
get some rest.
Yeah, because he was working, you know, he was the breadwinner and like, you know, providing for our new family. So I wanted him to be okay. Which sounds ridiculous considering I just pushed a child out.
Oh my god, it's the weak thing in our head and things we do as mothers.
I know, and it's like, well, hang on a second. I literally just pushed a child out of my vagina, could barely walk, and I'm worrying about him getting enough sleep.
As long as you're okay, dear.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure he appreciates it, I'd like to think. But so I kind of did it all by myself and went through it all. I mean, mum was there, but I don't know how teary I was in front of my mum. I definitely had a
How long did it last?
Kind of not too long. I think but after that first month of like getting used to it, and by that point I think Danny had finished a big bulk of the filming, so he was kind of back again. But it was hard as well because obviously Danny hadn't bonded quite, and also Cooper wasn't, what, because we wanted to do one bottle feed at night just to get him used to a bottle. But he wouldn't have it, so he would not take a bottle, bearing in mind we tried him on a bottle every single night. He wouldn't have one for the first 4 months.
Wow.
Just wouldn't. And we, like, Danny persisted, and we tried so many different bottles, like me being upstairs, me being out of the house, like, oh god.
Yeah, because everyone says, oh, they can smell the milk, they can smell your milk. Yeah,
I know. And it's, and like, we tried it with boob milk in the bottle, we tried it with formula in the bottle, like everything.
And that's so hard as well, if that's the one thing that you want, to, just to give you a break as well, to go and have a bath.
But it's nice for the dads too.
As well,
like, my husband felt like really proud when he'd be able to feed Axel, because he wasn't around very much at the beginning either.
Right.
And so he found it, you know, he felt a bit left out, I think. And so it's nice for them to feel like they're doing something.
Yeah.
And they're helping.
It is. And that, for Danny, that part was just awful and so stressful. The one part that was him doing his bit with Cooper was horrible. So that was quite hard for him in the beginning because he didn't have that gorgeous, lovely, like, moment where he could sit and cuddle and feed him. Mm. It was just really traumatic.
Do you know what, we went through something really similar with Kit, because he wouldn't take a bottle either. I was breastfeeding, but we wanted to do the one bottle at night and Kit was just kicking back. I mean, we didn't have it for as long as you, but it was about 3 months that we couldn't get a bottle into him, and every time we tried to give him a bottle it was like we were torturing him.
Like,
my husband Dozer was just like, this is awful, I hate this, it's distressing, I can't do it. He'd get himself really up. I'd never seen him like that, you know. And yeah, it's very hard if they can't be involved in that side of it.
It is.
You know, pressure on you, but also they feel slightly excluded.
Yeah, and it's almost like they're the ones putting your baby through that.
Yeah.
Because they're like, Cooper, Danny was always the one trying to feed Cooper. Mm. So Danny was always the one that had to upset Cooper. And Danny hated that. He was like, oh, he's going to think that I'm just this horrible person that keeps trying to ram a bottle in his mouth.
Ram a latex tea in his mouth.
Why don't they invent ones that are just like a nipple?
Yeah, that actually look like a breast coming at you.
Yeah.
That the dad can put on.
Yeah. They do exist. The ones that dads put on do exist.
That's like, so creepy.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh, that's so funny.
Yeah, they do.
That's creepy.
We were close. No, we weren't really. But, I mean, I think if Cooper hadn't have taken one, I'd have done something. I was desperate. I was literally just like, anything.
And so I'm guessing if you couldn't give him a bottle for like 4 months, you guys didn't get date night on your own for
not
quite
in
a
the
beginning.
No, not in the beginning. Cause, and then Cooper was just such a feeder. I mean, he was just constantly on the boob.
Your boobs were so big. I remember seeing them on Instagram thinking, Jesus.
Oh my God.
I have so loved boobs.
I mean, you won't love them now because there's literally a nipple and that's about
same
it.
Same as me. I was telling this story. I was like, Luna was grabbing my dressing gown the other day and she was like pulling it out and I suddenly realised that she wasn't actually grabbing dressing gown. It was skin.
It was skin. I know. What is this skin? It's just
want my boobs
looms.
Done.
Oh, I know. I think when I finish babies, I'm just going to get like a lift.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
A bit of silicone in there
plump.
As well.
Just a touch.
If they get any worse than this, I don't want big boobs though, because I've never, apart from when I was pregnant and when I was breastfeeding, I've never had big boobs. So when I got them, I was like, I don't know what to do with you. The only thing that I felt confident in was a bikini, because I was like, "Where?
Yeah, get them
underwear." Yeah.
How many photos did you take?
I know.
Like
I was
that?
Just like, "Hey, yeah." But I know, but I was like either pregnant or like after pregnancy, so I didn't feel like my ultimate sexiest. Yeah. It was like from rib cage up.
just these two. Yeah. Just on a sort of final note, we would love to talk to you about. We ask each of our guests to talk about their favourite kind of mum products. Mm. And obviously we're talking to you about relationships, so have you got any products that you kind of ease the time that you guys get to spend together?
Yeah. So I mean, I've talked about the Bubble app, which obviously is it's not a product but it's an app that is fab. And another thing that we've got which is fabulous, and do you know, I've talked about this so much, I feel like they really need to come. Do you know, they had a party and I'm really upset I didn't get invited because I talk about their brand so much.
Oh, that's so
dumb. And it's a pram called a Doona, and it's a pram / car seat, and the wheels like flick up into the pram, and it's just phenomenal. And it means that me and Danny and Coops, if we don't have a babysitter or a family member there, can like go into town with Cooper or go around to our friend's house for dinner. And we know that if we want to have a little drink, which me and Danny like to have, you know, a glass of wine or two, we know that we can whip up this car seat.
Yep.
And put it in a taxi, because we just strap him in. So that's something that I think is just a genius invention. What else?
Any nice places that you've been to stay, or restaurants that are good with kids?
Do you like an overnight stay in a nice hotel?
I do love an overnight stay. Do you know,
you haven't done it yet, have you though?
No, I've not, so me and Danny have stayed overnight in hotels, but it's only ever been when we've been at a wedding and we can't really remember a great deal. And we barely get any sleep, and we go home feeling more knackered than we felt when we got there. Yeah. And it kind of defeats the whole object of a night stay in a hotel.
Do you take a travel cot though?
Yes. So we've got a Baby Beyond travel cot, which is
the best.
Oh, they're brilliant. They're brilliant, because one of my friends has got kind of a knockoff Nigel, and it's not as good.
No,
it's not as easy to put up. Like, it's all right when it's up, but nowhere near as easy.
Confession hour: Kit still sleeps every single night in a travel cot.
Does he?
Because I'm not going to pay for two cots. Luna's still in a cot, and I can't take her out of it, because she would just get up the whole night and come running into our bedroom. So she's still in the cot with sides, and Kit is in this lovely Baby Bjorn travel cot.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
It's not.
The Baby Bjorn travel cot is nice.
It's so comfy. Really, like, nice, I've put padding underneath it and made it even more luxurious for him.
Oh, wow.
He's a sport boy.
Do you know what?
Second child syndrome.
So true.
I actually always take my travel cot to anywhere I go to stay.
Yeah.
Apart from my mum and dad's house, because they've got a cot. But because the amount of travel cops in hotels, they're absolutely awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I went to this one hotel and it was like a piece of cardboard, the mattress. And I was like, sorry, is the mattress on this? Or is this just the base?
It's just like a bit of wood.
Yeah.
Isn't
literally
it?
A bit of wood. So I always take Cooper's mattress. Not mattress, what do you call it?
Cot.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's mum brain. Terrible. But what I also do is take toys with me and I tip them in when he's awake, and then it's like a playpen as well.
That's a good mum hack.
Yeah, that is a good mum hack.
Do you know another mum hack? This sounds ridiculous, and maybe every single mum knows this. It's nothing to do with dates, but you know a banana? You know if you're going to give your baby a banana and you kind of need to cut it into batons?
Yeah.
Well, if you just put your finger down the middle of it, it splits it into three.
I didn't know that.
I've never done that to a banana.
Honestly, did you know that you
don't do it on public transport? But like,
did you know you're not supposed to open the banana from that bit with the little handle? On
it's the other end.
You meant to do it from the other end because that bit is where you hold it, and the other bit you meant to just squeeze it and then pull it apart.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you know that it also takes 15 years for a banana to biodegrade?
Wow, does
what,
it?
What, banana skin?
Oh, that's yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
God, we've learnt a lot about bananas.
Yeah.
No, they also sell banana shaped dildos in a shop around the. No, they don't. Let's move on. Georgia nearly was sick then. Georgia, not my Georgia, this Georgia, you've been an absolute joy to have today.
So
I could natter
thank
to you the
you.
Whole day.
I know, same. Oh. So it's like therapy, isn't it?
Let's
it
get is. Another cup of tea. Yeah. Get settled in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, girls.
Thank you. So, as with every week, we're going to round off with our top five favourite products. Now, I know Zoe's going to embarrass me with one of these, so I might as well just let you get on with it now.
Listen, G.
Get it out the way.
I've been mates with you for 2 years now, and one day you're going to talk to me about your sex life.
Maybe.
Oh, day. It's just never going to happen, is it? Anyway, look, my top product at the moment is... basically, I was sent this sex box.
Of course you were. Can you please tell everybody what they referred to you as?
They called me the frisky one in this lovely lady called Lucinda. She started this company called Box, B-O-X-X. It's basically a quarterly sex box subscription. So there are different levels, okay? There's obviously me, the frisky one that you can get. And inside this box, every 3 months you get sent a new box through the post. And I think it's $69.99. And inside...
Of course it's $69.99.
Oh, God, that just clicked. $69.99. And inside there was, in my box, I had nipple clamps. I had feather kind of like tickle dusters. There was a glass dildo which is called like temperature play, so you can put it in the freezer and then obviously insert it and then it warms up inside you, and it's really, I mean, it is amazing. Tingle lube, loads of different things, and every quarter a new box arrives. And it's basically, like, let's be honest, it's basically about connecting, reconnecting, and bringing in toys to have fun. And I think that is so important. I'm all for the toys. I've also just been sent, how lucky am I? Lilo is one of my favourite dildo brands. Georgia is literally dying in front of me here.
I mean, she just keeps going, doesn't she?
And they've got a new dildo called the Sona, and it is, you basically put it around your clit and then you turn it on, clitoris, and it sends like Sona waves through your body. I used it last night and I have never had an orgasm like it. It was amazing.
Zoe is still glowing.
I am glowing. It's taken my sex life to a whole new level. Like, who knew at 36 I could discover this?
I mean, you should stop having sex at 36.
Shut up, Georgia. Anyway, get yourself one of those Lila Sona. I can't recommend them highly enough.
So this isn't a product, but it's just something that you should maybe do. So if you can't get any childcare, a date night at home, once the kids are in bed, set the mood, some nice candles, nice dinner, whatever it is that you want to do, but just to take the time, not just to sit and let your partner watch football or you watch whatever you want to watch, doing something together at home and making it a bit special, because everybody can do that.
It's a really good tip. It's a really nice thing. So if you can't go out for a date, take the date to you.
Yes, and you also don't have to get dressed up.
We've talked about this already, but we really rate this app called Bubble, which is a babysitting app which you can download on your phone, and it's basically trusted childcare at the flick of a finger, excuse the pun. And you know what the great thing about this app is, that you can check the babysitters first, you can have them at home whilst you're doing work in the next door
room.
Yeah,
you can meet them,
and you can meet them and spend time with them before you leave your baby with them.
So, yeah, it is a really good one.
Yeah, we love it.
So again, not a specific product, but investing in some nice underwear. Now, I've got a bit of a weird superstition around it, and I have to match my underwear every single day.
That is a bit
otherwise
weird.
I have something that's like bad's gonna happen, which is a bit weird, but anyway, I don't feel right if I haven't got matching underwear on. So I do invest in, you know, some expensive underwear. There's some lovely brands. Luna May London is gorgeous.
That is a real investment though, isn't it?
Yeah,
you actually go along to fittings and everything is bespoke. So if you've got
amazing.
A wedding coming up, or you know, a really special occasion that you want to look completely sassy for, then this is the brand to go for.
But then like for everyday luxury, Stella McCartney does some amazing underwear, and it's not really really pricey. Elle Macpherson, and yep. You know what, even good old Marks and Spencers, you can get some lovely stuff in like the Peruna and the Rosie Huntington
gorgeous.
Whiteley range. Really really lovely, and they just make you feel good.
And also, don't tell your partner, like don't tell them that you've got it and then just, you know, casually get undressed at the end of the day.
Hi,
what
them.
You mean this little thing that I just got?
Winning. This crotchless number. Yeah, I've worn this to the gym.
Then get the sonar out. You're having a wild night. And then this last, it's actually not a product, but it's just something that my husband and I have started doing.
And a very good friend of mine who is a mindfulness coach called The Naked Professor gave me this tip. It's called vulnerability. It's something that we are going to do every 2 weeks. It's basically you sit opposite your partner, cross-legged, in a room, maybe light some candles, maybe put some light music on if you want to. It sounds like a sort of like a scene from a CD porno, doesn't it? But it's not. And then you look into each other's eyes and you basically tell each other why you love the other person, what they've done for you that week that's made you feel good, what you love about them, you know, if they're an amazing father, amazing mother, whatever it is. And just, it's really about that deep connection and finding out what's going on.
This is such a lovely idea. And you know what? Thinking back, I think this has been really useful in the first few months after you've had a baby.
Yes.
When you almost forget to even talk to each other, because you're like, can you pass me this? Can you get this?
Yeah.
Can we do that? I'm so tired. Blah, blah, blah. But saying something really nice.
Yeah.
I mean, that's everything, isn't it really?
It does wonders for you. Absolute wonders for you. And it's free. So there you go. Right, that rounds off this week's podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Please, if you can, go and rate, review and subscribe to the podcast. And please, 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 if you like what you've heard, give us a little 5-star. We like the 5 stars.
Only 5 stars.
George is very strict on that rule. And you can get in touch with us anytime as well. We'd love to hear from you. You can contact us through our Instagram at Made by Mamas, or through my Instagram, which is at Zoe Harbin. And we'll get back to you as soon as we can. And remember, join us next week for more chat.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.